Welcome back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, putting it back on the road with friends this week, lifelong friends. Andy at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog moved his business from Highland Town out to White Marsh, and I am having my first crab cake with him. We're going to be doing it on Thursday in advance of all things Ravens. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I got some Raven scratch-offs I'll be giving away, as well as a few holiday cash drop leftovers. Had some $50 winners a couple weeks ago. Costas with Gina Shock from the Go-Go's, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. And 5 years of 0% financing. They didn't give me 0% financing, but they'll give it to you at Window Nation. Tell you what, it's playoff week around here. It's the weirdest, strangest playoff week. I've been through them all. We've had a lot of them. A lot of them have been out on the road. But I ain't never been to Cincinnati for a playoff game. Solomon Wilcots is in Cincinnati, Ohio, with his little Bengal helmet behind him, doing his fantastic radio show for SiriusXM each and every day. And I only bother him when the Ravens get together with the Bengals, even though he's bothered with 32 other teams and the 32 other places and all of that. Pretty big week where you are right now, Solly, right? I mean, this is heady stuff in the Houdain Nation out there in Cincinnati.
Very heady stuff because, first of all, you know, the Ravens and Bengals, we know they don't like each other. They're used to tussling in the postseason. I still remember one game when Andy Dalton hit Tyler Boyd across the middle and ended the Ravens' playoff hopes that year of getting into the postseason. Last week, with all the machinations of what the league was doing, because the Bengals only played in 16, not 17 games, saying, okay, you get the percentages of winning the AFC North title, but if you lose to Baltimore in the final game, you're going to have a coin toss if you have to play them in the playoffs. Well, the Bengals were not happy about that. There's no doubt. There was a lot of people on social media calling the Bengals a paper champion. So the Bengals wanted to go out and win that game last week. They knew that it would have only been right to hand out T-shirts and hats after getting it done on the field. And now they're going to play each other in back-to-back weeks. That's never before happened.
Well, Sol, you evaluate all these teams, and just because you're in Cincinnati, I know you're probably closer to that situation where we are. Tell me about my situation here as you view it from there in that second year quarterback can't play. Look, where we all – We can all say we love Lamar, plays a game like nobody else in a different way, high risk. We talk about him running the linebackers, all of that. Mm-hmm. But where this franchise is right now, where are these press conferences where John looks a little bewildered and lost? We're on the front end of not knowing whether he's going to play. Vegas thinks he's playing. I saw the point spread, right? Because we can say that now because they're all in on gambling and betting on it. So I can say that now.
Yeah.
For you and watching the weirdness of his contract, all of this, he represents himself. They say he's coming back. You, as a former player, you know you want an agent getting a second opinion on that knee. You won't be flown around to see Dr. Andrews or whomever it is. You want your own timeline, not John Harbaugh's 1 to 3 weeks. They're telling the NFL Network he's playing Christmas, and now, ooh, it's January 15th. This is weird, man, and I've been doing this forever. I don't know what to make of all of this. What do you make of it?
If Lamar Jackson was actually speaking, and he shouldn't be, even if he did have an agent, his agent would be like, you can't negotiate in the press, so just stay out of there. I think if truth be told, and if we all allow our emotions to separate, and I don't have any emotions in it because I'm here in Cincinnati, you know, I'm not attached to the organization, but I've covered the Ravens for a long time. I really care deeply about Mr. Bisciotti. I love him. I got close to that organization when Ozzie was there and learned to appreciate the Baltimore Ravens in a great way. So I esteem them very highly. But if the truth be told, this fractures of the unity they had is beginning to kind of fray a little bit. And it has to, because there was a point in time that if the unity was going to stay strong, that they would have taken care of Lamar, paid Lamar at an appropriate time. Because right now, as he sits here, he doesn't have financial security. And people are wanting him to go out and play as if he does. See, this is still a business.
This check in the playoffs, right?
Like this is still a business. That's what I'm sitting here telling you. So in the business relationship, There's the team, there's the player, and then there's the fans. And the fans are part of the business dynamic, right? You know, let's face it, they are. The fans are like, oh, come on, Lamar, let's play. The team is like, if you want your money, you should play. This is what we told you. You're always getting hurt at the end of the year. Well, just like you would say to your employer or anyone would say to their employer, I got hurt working for you. Like I got hurt providing a service for you. And so now you want me to play when I'm less than 100%, but yet I don't have financial security. There's a precedent here. Go back to 2005. There's a quarterback by the name of Drew Brees. He played for the Chargers, and he's playing on the last game of the same kind of contract that that Lamar is playing now. He blew out his shoulder on his throwing arm. You know what happened? You know what the team that drafted him, the team that said they love him so much, you know what they did? They threw him out like trash. And they elevated Phillip Rivers. He became the quarterback. And guess what? Not even the Miami Dolphins would sign Drew Brees. And it just so happened a team in a city that was broken in New Orleans, they signed the quarterback that was broken in Drew Brees. The rest is history. But he's still working on that shoulder for the rest of his days. And the financial insecurity there was exploited by the Chargers. So I think we need to step back and understand that this is a much more complex thing. I think Lamar wants to play, but we need to ask ourselves, can he play? In other words, physically, can he play? And then we have to ask ourselves, should he play? That's a whole nother different conversation.
Well, and that just the fact that we're asking that is makes this wildly unique. And certainly the way the Ravens have stumbled into this thing, there's no better agent for Lamar's contract than watching this freaking team play the last 6 weeks, right? Like trying to play without him in this system, there's nobody that does what he does. His value is innate. It's just sitting there to say with him, they have a chance of winning on Sunday night in Cincinnati. Without him, they have no chance of winning.
But the best case scenario would be if he was playing, balling out, winning all the games, taking deep into the playoffs. But for NFL players, we have this saying, sometimes the heart is willing, but the body's not able. He's willing to play. That's how you got to 8-4 in the first 12 games. So he's willing to play, even though he's got this financial uncertainty. But now everyone wants him to double down on it by saying, play hurt without financial security.
And be judged.
Do you realize what you're asking? Where I think people are starting to ask Lamar to do something that they themselves wouldn't do. And I already gave you the precedent, the example of what can happen if he plays in, say, this game on Sunday night, given the financial insecurity, and he gets hurt to the point where now he's on the mark. I guarantee you, if he blows out that knee in a game on Sunday, let's just play devil's advocate. You think the Ravens are going to sign into that long-term contract, even with the one that was on the table? That thing will come off the table so quick, it'll make your head spin.
Well, it's a question as to whether it's even on the table at this point.
Good point,
whether he wants to be in Baltimore after Hollywood Brown. And Solly, this is so unique, right? Because yes. I'm seeing Joe Flacco throw the ball around and they threw him out like luggage at 1.2. He's not getting a statue here.
That's the business. This doesn't make the Ravens the bad guy. But I'm just trying to tell people it doesn't make Lamar the bad guy either. And just because you see Harbaugh upset doesn't mean that Lamar did something wrong. It's just that means the coach ain't getting what he wants. Look, Coach Harbaugh can't go down there and say, here, Lamar, here's a contract. That's not his job. His job is to coach the player once he gets him. Okay? Mr. Bisciotti's the only one that can sign him to the dotted line. And it's also up to Lamar to say yes or no, will he accept said contract? The coach is caught in the middle here a little bit. I'm sure he gets to weigh in on something. But he wants a player. He don't have access to the player. And this doesn't make the Ravens wrong. I'm not saying that they should be vilified, but I'm also cautioning people because we tend to vilify the player, right? Because we want the player to do all these great things. Play well, play if you're hurt, win, do all this stuff. But then nobody is saying, well, God, Can we at least give the guy some financial security before we ask him to do all these wonderful and amazing things?
Well, on the back end of DeMar Hamlin last week, I think that's front and center in everyone's mind. Solomon Wilcox is here bringing his usual wisdom, and you can follow Solomon's wisdom out on Twitter as well as down in the Cincinnati area, getting the chili all worked up for Sunday Night Football, super wild card weekend and all that stuff. So for the Ravens in this pivotal time for this franchise, Solly, and winning or losing, and hey, they go down, shock the world, and then they got Patrick Mahomes next week, and then there'd be Josh Allen or like that on the other end of all of that. This is a wild tournament. There are some great players coming into their own, sort of the looking forward to this tournament and who comes out of it. This is a wild tournament in a lot of ways, including maybe even a, and I know you don't want to hear this in Cincinnati, neutral site game for a championship game. All of it that's happened since last Monday night, it's been a whirlwind of things. But the Ravens being in the middle of this and cleaning out lockers maybe on Monday without Lamar signed, boy, franchises take on different directions, whether it's fired coaches this week, Black Monday, all of that that's going on. There's just a lot moving in the league this week, and even more so when six more teams get their feelings hurt this weekend.
Listen, there's a finality to it all. Of the 14 teams that are in the playoffs, only one is going to end with a happy ending. Like, okay. And you're right. There's ramifications and repercussions to not winning these games, just like there were from not winning during the regular season. So yeah, there's still more to come. We got five teams out there right now shopping for a new head coach in the National Football League. There's going to be more added to that list by the time it's all said and done. I can tell you this from a Cincinnati Bengals standpoint. This team is built to weather the storm. No one's ever believed in them. In quick order, they've been able to go from one of the worst teams in the league to one of the best teams in the league. When the scheduling came out, everybody looked at the last eight games of the regular season and said, whoa, it's murderer's row. You've got teams like at Pittsburgh. You've got Tennessee, you got Kansas City, you've got on the road, all these Tampa Bay, and then you finish up with Buffalo, and then then at Baltimore at home, murderer's row. They go 8-0 in their final eight games, the second half of the season. Their general manager, Duke Tobin, has been named executive of the year last year, probably should get it again this year because they won games this year without Ja'Marr Chase. They've won games this year without Trey Hendrickson on the field. Some of their best players, Joe Mixon, missed a couple of weeks. He scored five touchdowns and he's out for 2 weeks. Samaje Perine comes in and this guy's have a career game. Every single week, it's somebody different. And you're going through your guides and who the hell is this guy? But they just kept winning. They're a very resilient group. And they didn't like the fact that by virtue of the way that the league handled things, they were immediately taken out of the running for a number one seed. Immediately. Not because of what happened on the field, but by the way that the league decided to litigate or manage the crises they found themselves in. But you know what? All they did was go out in the final week of the regular season. They wanted to earn it on the field by beating the Baltimore Ravens on the field. They wasn't going to have the Ravens walk around saying, we swept you guys and you still won the division crown. How is that? So they're willing to earn it. They didn't pass out one t-shirt. They didn't pass out one hat until they proved it on the field. So you have to like the way that this team is being managed and that the way that the perception of how they carry themselves is being handled.
Well, we watched them play, and you know what this is like, sort of this back-to-back. They're going to see each other again, and how much was shown in the game on Sunday, how hard the Bengals had to work against the second team. Some thoughts about the Bengals and them going through this last year and how that benefits them, because, I mean, I remember last time you and I got together, I thought at the two-minute warning y'all were in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? I think everybody in the upper deck with me at SoFi thought that too, in the Houday in the jungle. It was very, very close. The cocky quarterback as part of the storyline, I sort of like that kid. Don't tell anybody. You know, I mean, coming out of LSU, boy, the Ravens fans this week especially have caught on to, Oh, he's the new bad guy. He's the new Roethlisberger. He's the guy for the next 10 years. It's going to be our Peyton Manning, our Tom Brady, our pain in the ass, the guy we're going to have to deal with, because that kid's not going anywhere. Even if somehow Sunday night miracles happen and you're cleaning lockers out and we're going to Kansas City, Joe Burrow's a serious cat, man.
First of all, I think what the Bengals showed last year, because you talked about the postseason, it's a tournament. It belongs to anybody who's in it. The Ravens have just as good a shot as all the other 13 teams in the postseason. Everybody's got a shot. The reason why the Bengals like their chances, since this guy came to town in quick order, he turned around the franchise, turned around the team and the town. I'll just share with you a little story. He grew up in Athens, Ohio. We know it's a blue-collar town. And this story is told by his AAU 9-year-old basketball coach, who happens to be a sociology professor at the University of Ohio. He's coaching AAU basketball. He's got this kid on his team who's the point guard by the name of Joe Burrow. He said, we're down by 8 with just seconds, like 40 seconds left to go. And they keep fouling Joe. Joe keeps knocking down the free throws. He knocks down one, knocks down another. He said, I've never seen a kid at that age that didn't blink, that under pressure, his post never went above normal. He knocked him down. He ended up winning the game by 2 points. He said after the game, he went over to Joe Burrow's parents and said, look, I just got to share with you, because I'm a sociology professor at the university and we study behavior and what we call first responders and EMT specialists. This is the kind of behavior that we see in first responders and firefighters and policemen, people who have to act in a moment and their posts never go above normal. He said, we also see it in serial offenders. And everyone in this town, we have heard that story. That's the same Joe Burrow we see on Sundays. That's the same Joe Burrow we see that gets sacked 9 times and it don't change a thing. And so what you see in him is not bravado, because he don't go around telling people how good he is. That's what bragging is. That's what bravado. That's what arrogance is. He's just extremely confident in himself, but he knows he's got to lead other 40, 52 other guys. And so he does it with this charisma, with this strength about himself that every single guy in that locker room will follow him. We got people signing up to play in Cincinnati that wouldn't even come to have the chili, but they come here to play with Joe Burrow because they know championships are coming. He said it when they asked him, how long is the window open for this team to win a championship? He said, oh, no, that window will be open for as long as I'm here. He wasn't bragging. He was just saying, like Mike Tomlin said, the standard is the standard. He said, this is the standard. As long as I'm here, we're going to be playing for championships. There's no other way to even think about it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Everyone wants a quarterback like that. Everyone does.
Well, yeah, you hate him because you can't beat him. Solomon Wilcox, right. Hey, man, you get all fired up. You might want to go back and play with a guy like him, don't you?
That's all about it. Look, we love football. I'm going to tell you, when you run across a young player like this, you get excited. You get excited. Hey, look, after he beat the Patriots, Belichick couldn't wait to get over there to talk to him. I remember they played the Packers last year. Aaron Rodgers couldn't wait to get over there and talk to him. This guy is the real deal. I'm not saying that because he's a big. Look, I covered all these guys. I covered Peyton Manning. I said that about him. I said this about Drew Brees when he was in San Diego and they left him for scrap heap. I knew he was the real deal. Tom Brady, look, when you see him, you know him.
Well, I mean, but right now, Josh Allen, Mahomes, where Trevor Lawrence looks like he might be going, there's a lot of real deals right now. This is exciting for the league, right?
This guy's different. He's different. Look, Justin Herbert's got more talent than Joe Burrow. We're not talking about talent. We're talking this. We're talking this. Look, there's a lot of middle linebackers. There ain't a lot of Ray Lewis's running around. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on now.
Of course,
come,
man.
Look, there's a lot of free safety. There ain't a lot of them like Ed Reed, man. You guys had your turn. You guys knew. You know what special looks like. Don't sit here act like you don't know. But when they on the other team, you just don't want to let yourself believe it. The first time I saw Ray Lewis in an NFL game, they were playing the Bengals. And then I'm going to tell you something. It was here at Old Three River Stadium. Boomer Esiason was playing. I think it was 97 season.
96, 97.
96, 97. Dude, I went into the locker room. I saw this number 52. I said, my God, this dude was different. I had to go over and introduce myself. I introduced myself. And Ray couldn't have been nicer. It was after the game, man. Hey, buddy.
That's what you say.
This dude, I told everybody in Cincinnati, this dude, different. Mike Singletary, all the other ones, step aside. This guy is going to change the face of the organization. I was right. Now, look, you don't play for my team, but I love ball players. That's what I get passionate about. When you see that kind of real raw love for the game, you already know they're going to leave an imprint on our league like nobody who ever came before. That's all I know. So, look, all those other guys are good. I'm not taking anything from them, but this guy's different.
Well, they're going to come steal our lunch money on Sunday night. Solomon Wilcox is here. He's out in Cincinnati. And, you know, I hope you get one of his cigars if this thing ever happens for you in Cincinnati at the parade, you know, one of those Joe Burrow specials.
I have some cigars right here in my humidor.
Okay.
And I guarantee you, he wants one of mine. Ooh. Before I want one of his.
Okay. All right. That's fun. But he's got winning ones, you know?
They're all winning. Trust me. A cigar, you must not be a cigar smoker. Because everybody who smokes cigars know it's a mini vacation. As soon as you light it up, a cigar is known as a mini vacation.
Well, I tell you what, I hope you have a massive celebration at some point in Cincinnati. I just hope it doesn't come at our expense. Sally, they're not letting me in Sunday night. That's another thing. But here, my flight was in on Sunday and out at like 5 a.m. Monday. And because I was going to go like straight to the airport, like after the game. And all I could think about was me sitting in an all-night chili stand at around 2:30 in the morning with three-way and all the cinnamon they put on there and the season being over. For someone, that's going to be the case at 2 a.m. on Sunday night. We just hope it's not us, but I don't like our odds. It's tough right now going into this one and being confident on our end.
Look, we hope Lamar plays in this because I love watching him play. You know, he went to school nearby here, just about an hour's drive south in Louisville. And so the people here in Cincinnati are big Lamar Jackson fans, except for when he plays us. That's it. Like we literally in Cincinnati, we root for Lamar. Trust me when I tell you, I know people don't believe that because, you know, we're big enough to put emotions on the table. But now when they play against us, that's the only time when people in Cincinnati aren't rooting for Lamar. But we cheered him on during that MVP run. We're hoping that things work out for him in Baltimore. I really want the best for him. I think he's a tremendous competitor. He works just as hard as all the other great quarterbacks in our league. And I think that should be more of a conversation that people should be talking about as it pertains to Lamar Jackson.
As a Ravens fan, Solly, we've watched them play with him. And we've watched them play without him. It's a whole lot more fun to watch him play with him. There's no doubt about that. Solomon, take care of yourself. Keep going with that wisdom you have out there at SiriusXM and everything you have out of Twitter. I would love to see you at the Super Bowl this year out in Phoenix. And I certainly, I will be thinking of you and people like you and Hobson and Lapp, all of you guys out there, if the magic moment ever happens for you guys.
All right. We appreciate you, Ness. All the best. Take care.
Solomon Wilcox and the Wisdom of Solomon. You can find him out on Twitter and at SiriusXM 7 to 10 each and every day out on SiriusXM. So make sure you're doing that and listen to Howard Stern, too, when you're not listening to him. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It's playoff week around here. We're going to Cincinnati. We are BaltimorePositive.com.